So today we celebrate Ascension Sunday, and tomorrow, of course, Memorial Day. Our challenge, therefore, this morning is twofold. First, we must come to an understanding of what the Ascension is all about and what relevance, if any, it has for our lives today. And secondly, I'd like to explore whether there exists any logical connection between our secular observance of Memorial Day and our religious observance of the Ascension. And I believe a connection can be found in two words, memory and hope. I believe, to begin, Jesus' Ascension is about memory and hope. In the lesson that John will read, Jesus promises the apostles that they will soon be baptized with the awesome power of the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus is lifted up in a cloud to heaven. Jesus' dramatic and glorious ascension was understood by the early church to be the validation of his life, a validation of his life and its meaning for this world and centuries later for us. And of course, the meaning of Jesus' life is found in what he did and what he taught us. And now we are called to keep his memory alive. To help us understand this movement from memory to hope, let's take a moment to remember Rosa Parks. Pretty unassuming woman, wouldn't you say? Pretty unassuming, but boy oh boy, is she remembered. She infused the civil rights struggle of the 1960s with a sense of hope and a sense of purpose. She infused that struggle with hope because she did something very, very simple. She took action. She sat down on the bus and she refused to get up. Listen to these powerful words of Rosa Parks. Memories of our lives, of our works, and of our deeds will continue in others. Rosa Parks is remembered because of her works and her deeds. And Jesus is remembered because of his works and his deeds. And so Rosa is right, for Rosa's memory lives on in what she did for others, and Jesus' memory lives on in us by what he did for others. And so this whole point of Jesus' resurrection, ascension, is to validate his life, his deeds, and his works. And then, as we're about to hear, as John reads, we are called to be Jesus' witnesses to the ends of the earth. The point of the ascension story is for the people of God to remember that they are on a mission of justice, love, and hope in the world.
In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing up toward the heaven. Suddenly, two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." May God bless our understanding of this reading.
So if Rosa Parks is right, and I think she is, that we all want to be remembered by our works and by our deeds, which James Bond film does Roger Moore want to be remembered for? Which role was his favorite? With all the other news of the week, it was perhaps easy to miss that English actor Roger Moore, AKA James Bond, died on Tuesday at the age of 89 after a short battle with cancer. All England mourned the death of one of the most memorable James Bond actors. Roger Moore was tied with Sean Connery for 7 Bond films. So I begin today's sermon with a little quiz. Between 1973 and 1985, Roger Moore played the famed secret agent 007 in these films. Here they are, and as I name them, for which role do you think Roger Moore most wants to be remembered? Live and Let Die, The Man with the Golden Gun, The Spy Who Loved Me, Moonraker, For Your Eyes Only, Octopussy, or A View to Kill? I confess, it's a trick question. Upon his death, Moore's 3 children issued the following statement. Perhaps some of you heard it or read it. They said, "We know our own love and admiration will be magnified many times over across the world by people who knew him for his films, his television shows, and his passionate work for UNICEF, which he considered to be his greatest achievement." Quite simply, despite enjoying a stellar movie and television career, a series of glittering awards, and even knighthood, Roger Moore considered his time as the UNICEF ambassador to be the greatest role of his life. And in that role, he fought to protect vulnerable children, children dying of starvation, children with HIV/AIDS, children with iodine deficiency, children who are the victims of sex trafficking. Over the years, Roger Moore received a number of national and international honors for his efforts on behalf of children, including a special award from the United Nations in 2008. And in 2003, he was knighted by Queen Elizabeth, becoming Sir Roger Moore. Well, Sir Roger Moore once said, "Working with UNICEF made me grow up and recognize how fortunate I am." And so may we honor Roger Moore's life by remembering how fortunate many of us here are. And may we honor his memory by our words and our deeds on behalf of the world's children. But in our lives as well, there is hardship, there is disappointment, there is struggle, and there is in our lives the loss with the passing of a loved one. Many of you may not be aware of one of the great traditions of our Board of Deacons. Like many of our boards and committees, various jobs and responsibilities are divided up among the board, and each year a couple of deacons are assigned the role of writing notes of sympathy, healing, or other words of comfort to fellow church members. Well, I was recently visiting with one family who had suffered the loss of a loved one, and it was shared with me just how meaningful and how appreciated was the note from one of our deacons. The end of this condolence note to the family who had recently lost a beloved mother, mother-in-law, grandmother, went like this. "Remember," the deacon wrote, "when someone you love becomes a memory, that memory becomes a treasure. Your loved one was a treasure. The world was a better place because of her." Well, this past week, we all have heard, the world has heard, the many stories of people who were loved, stories of children whose lives were a treasure, and stories of young men and women who made this world a better place. So many heartbreaking stories of angels who are now resting in peace, stories of 22 treasures in Manchester, England, stories about Olivia, Charlotte, Georgina, Safi Rose, Kelly, Allison, Lisa, Nell, Chloe, Liam, Michelle, Elaine, Wendy, Courtney, Megan, the names go on. 22 lives snuffed out by hatred and violence. But even amidst this tragedy, as we keep alive the memories of those precious angels, we do that in part by honoring those who responded to that horrific attack. In the words of Rosa Parks, people who responded with deeds of love and compassion. One of those people was 33-year-old Chris Parker, who had been begging in the foyer, as he often does, before and after the concerts at that 21,000-seat Manchester arena. Parker and another homeless man are being hailed as heroes. Amid the chaos and the carnage, as people began to leave that concert, Parker rushed to help the victims. A tearful Parker recounted, "I heard a bang, and within a split second I saw a white flash, then smoke, and then I heard screaming. It knocked me to the floor, and then I got up, and instead of running away, my gut instinct was to run back and try and help. There were people lying on the floor everywhere," he said. "I saw a little girl. I wrapped her in one of the merchandise t-shirts, and I said, 'Where is your mom and daddy?' 'My dad is at work. My mom is up there.'" Chris Parker also tended to a 60-year-old woman who died as he tried to comfort her. "She passed away in my arms. I haven't stopped crying. The most shocking part is that it was a kids' concert." While we can't rush in like Chris Parker to aid those kids at the Manchester Arena with our gut instinct, our gut instinct is the same in terms of the kids now affected by what is becoming the worst humanitarian crisis in the modern era, the famine in East Africa. Our gut instinct is to try and help. As you perhaps have heard, famine has been officially declared in South Sudan, and for the first time in recent history, there is a very real possibility of four famines breaking out all at once. In Somalia, South Sudan, Nigeria, and Yemen. in part caused by the worst drought in over 60 years. Over the next 6 months, it is possible that more than 20 million people will die of starvation, with nearly half of them being children. As some of you read in our recent publications and on the back of today's bulletin, the United Church of Christ has issued a special appeal to respond to this unfolding tragedy in East Africa. While our One Great Hour of Sharing gifts are already at work in the area, the global humanitarian community is scaling up its efforts to avert a catastrophe. Trusted on-the-ground partnerships with UCC Disaster Ministries, our resources go directly to people in need. Please give generously if you can. Clearly, the lives of these children of God is a treasure, and clearly our works and our deeds, we can keep them alive and keeping them from being simply a memory. I conclude these thoughts for Ascension Sunday and Memorial Day weekend with some thoughts about one person we should also be remembering here today, someone whose memory is still treasured and whose legacy still lives on. This person was a member of the United States military, and in fact, he was our nation's commander-in-chief. In 1963, he gave his life in service to this country. Had he lived, John F. Kennedy would have been 100 years old tomorrow. To commemorate this 100th anniversary of his birth, Kennedy's daughter Caroline and her children, his grandchildren, recently shared some reflections to honor the former president. Caroline Kennedy Schlossberg, a former ambassador to Japan, said she wanted to mark the occasion of her father's 100th birthday by celebrating the legacy and place in history he left for her children, and for all of us. In an interview with CNN's Jake Tapper, Kennedy said, "He is a historical figure. 100 years is a really long time, but I think his legacy and his values are timeless, and they live on." Caroline reminisces about hiding under the Oval Office desk when she was a young girl and sailing with her father. "I miss him every day of my life, but growing up without him was made easier thanks to all the people who kept him in their hearts." She then said, "Studying history really isn't about the past. It's really about what kind of world we want to create now." Caroline's oldest daughter, Tatiana, offered this reflection. "One of the most defining relationships of my life is with someone I've never met, my grandfather, President John F. Kennedy." And the younger daughter, Rose Kennedy Schlossberg, said she was inspired by her grandfather's sense of equality. She said, "His courage in naming the injustices in American society and his call for action, such as the Peace Corps, live on to this day." Whether it is famine, bigotry, hatred, prejudice, hunger, devastating budget cuts, persecution, war, immigration, John Kennedy's call to action is alive today. And so on this Ascension Sunday, this Memorial Day weekend, it is an appropriate time for us to consider our lives, our legacy, and the memory that we want to leave on this earth. And as we consider God's call to action, let the words from the Acts of the Apostles ring loud and true in our hearts. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. And so, friends, as you go from this place, let us truly be Jesus' witnesses to all the earth. Let our gut instincts take over to serve those in need. Amen.